All right, we are back. Episode 36 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Rubato with Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the better half of the co-host, Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Augie's got its home opener coming up this weekend. What's Bemidji doing?
Home and home with Minnesota Duluth.
Oh, that's right. They're doing the Duluth home and home. That's right. Oh, yeah. I know we just talked about it. I just blanked for a second. So, but hockey season, man, is the non-conference stuff has been fun. And we had a fun weekend last weekend. I know a lot of people didn't like the way it went for the CCHA. I know there's one program
who's
pretty happy with it.
Yeah, it was not a fun weekend for me. It was two bad losses and like a horrific injury scare.
yeah.
But no, hey, look, it's college hockey. Hockey season's back. Losing hockey is still hockey, and it's better than whatever I do in the summer. So, and we have a good one this week, and I think a pretty topical guest was Gavin Best. It's Gavin Best from Ferris State. I'm pretty sure he was forward of the week, right?
He was. Yep. Yeah, three goals.
Three goals. Had the game winner against Western on Thursday night when the Dogs upset top-ranked Western Michigan, defending national champion, broke a huge regulation winning streak at Lawson. And it was a good chat. I think we went for about 40 minutes with Gavin Best, and he has a really interesting hockey career, especially if you know you're from Minnesota and you know the landscape of Minnesota high school hockey and whatnot. Trent, what did we get into with Gavin about?
Well, obviously, yeah, we had to talk about last weekend. It was a big moment for Ferris State, a big moment for this conference, really, knocking off the number one team in the country, the reigning national champions on their banner night. Ferris State won that one 3-2, and I thought they were gritty the second night, lost in 6-4. We talked a little bit about Hobie Hedquist and his performance, and then we got a little bit into, you know, what these last couple of years have been like for Gavin, in making the decision to go to Ferris State. We went through the hockey career and, one that started in Richfield, Minnesota. He played for Blake School. There's a lot of guys around the conference and around the league really who, have ties to that school. And he had a magical moment in a lot of ways, to get Blake School to the state tournament, his senior season. I believe that was in 2020. Just before the pandemic. And then we talk a little bit about what the implications of the pandemic were for him as he kind of got his hockey career going. We talked a little bit about the junior career. He got to stay at home and play for the Minnesota Magicians in the NAHL, and what those 2 years were like for him. And eventually he makes his way to Michigan State, where his hockey career started. And, we talked to him a little about that decision following that sophomore season to come to Ferris State, play for Bob Daniels' program. He had a breakout season last year, 19 points, 10 goals, was really one of those surprises that teams need in order to kind of propel themselves forward. And if you guys remember last season, Ferris State was pretty hot going into the playoffs and pretty inspired group playing for Coach Daniels in his final season. And then, of course, the coaching change this year with Brett Riley taking over the program. We got his take on sort of what that's looked like. As far as the newcomers, the 13 transfers that are with this program now, as well as those 17 guys who stuck around and are still with the program through the coaching change. So, of course, we closed it out with our one-timers, and they were great. I mean, Gavin was just a great guest all around. And for Ferris State fans, I think you're going to love this one. Just a really down-to-earth guy. He's a golfer, and so he had some good takes on who's the best golfer on the team. Biggest sandbagger, so be sure to listen out at the end of this episode for that. So really good chat with Gavin, and glad he came on and thankful for him for coming on the show this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's kick it over to our interview with Gavin Best. All right, it's interview time, and we were looking to talk to a dog today who was coming off of a pretty big weekend last win. So we brought on Gavin Best from Ferris State. Gavin, thanks so much for joining the show. How's it going?
I'm doing well. No, thank you guys. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and let's just hop right into it. It was an impressive weekend for Ferris State. Obviously it was a big split with Western. You pull out a 3-2 win on Friday night. You get the game-winning goal. Just talk about that experience, not only with what happened on the ice, but also with, kind of spoiling the celebration there and banner night, all the festivities that were up at Lawson.
Yeah, no, it was a super fun night. Definitely something that I and our team will remember for a long time. Obviously, like you said, it was cool to kind of go in there and play spoiler when they're, you know, first home game of the year and riding high off the banner night and everything. So it was super fun. Obviously for the program too, is our first win at Lawson in quite a long time. So that obviously is one of the best environments in college hockey, in my opinion. I love playing there. It's just, even as a, you know, visiting team, it's just, it's so much fun. The energy in there is awesome. So that was one we had circled before the year, and it was good to go in there and put on a good performance.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about how it's been a while since Ferris has went into Lawson and won. It's been a while since anybody's gone into Lawson and won, especially in regulation. It was 26 straight wins in regulation for Ferris or for Western. You know, obviously that first weekend you run into a much improved Miami team that's kind of trying to rewrite all the, you know, the bad juju they had last year. And I think they showed they're a little bit more of a player this year. And to kind of rebound from that and get a win, and not only a, you know, a win for you guys, but Brett Riley's first win as head coach at Ferris, you know, just talk about what that can do for this team in terms of confidence and momentum moving forward.
Yeah, like you mentioned, we, you know, didn't have the results we wanted to at Miami to start the year. Bit sloppy, not disciplined. I think we spent a lot too much time in the box that weekend, and so we were looking to rewrite the ship. And you know, it started with belief and a really good week of practice that led into those games. But yeah, I think like you mentioned as well, Miami's definitely, I think, a better program this year. And you know, it wasn't like we took them light by any means. I just think that we didn't play our best, which kind of happens. And sometimes it's good to, you know, get it handed to you a little bit early. You know, that can be good for the group. And then I think to respond the way we did and show that we're, you know, the hockey that we're capable of playing, I think was huge. So yeah, I think really two actually very pivotal weekends early on for us.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get into more of the kind of how this roster came together a little bit later. But one of those pieces that came in the summer was Hobie Hedquist. And you know, you just talk about a standout game there at Lawson. I mean, just talk about what kind of performance he put forth and how happy you were to have that guy in your net that night.
Yeah, for sure. One of the better goalie performances I've ever seen, for sure. I told him that too, like super, you know, happy and proud of him. Like, I mean, what a game. It's something that, you know, performance he's going to remember forever too. So no, but that's awesome. We are very confident in our goalie room. You know, him and Noah have kind of split to start the year here, and we have a ton of confidence in both of them. And yeah, for Hobie to go do that at Western was awesome. Very, very proud of him for that. And you know, hopefully he can ride that performance, and there's more of that to come.
I don't think it would be right if we didn't ask this question. Every time we have a Ferris State person on, we have to ask the question. I mean, you were one of 17 guys who was a part of this program last year, and obviously it was Bob Daniels' final season at the helm. One of the winningest coaches in the history of college hockey, and has always been such a gem when Jared and I have gotten the chance to talk to him. I know you only played one season with Coach Daniels, but you know, what was it like to play for him in that final season as a coach? It seemed like he sort of galvanized you guys a little bit towards the end of the season when everybody sort of found out that, you know, obviously it was going to be his final season, and the final season with you know, Drew Famulak and Mark Kaufman and some of those assistants who have been there for so long. I mean, what was that experience like for you to just be able to play for him, a legendary coach in this game?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, like you said, I only was able, or you know, was only with him for that 1 year, but it was great. You know, I think Bob is, and the whole staff, they're all really good guys. You know, awesome, like you just mentioned too. You know, awesome to talked to, everyone's had, you know, good interactions with Coach Daniels. So yeah, great guys. It was great to get to know them, have to play for them. You know, they brought me in and showed a lot of trust in me and my game. So I'm very fortunate to have, you know, had that experience with them.
Yeah, and obviously Brett Riley gets hired over the summer. Just talk about your first impressions of him and, you know, kind of your first conversations with him after he got hired.
Yeah, when I think about Coach Riley, I think he's come – it's very obvious that he's very determined. He's very passionate about hockey, and he's very prepared. So I think those three things were evident very early on. You know, he knew who I was, knew a lot about me and my game, as I think he did for everyone in our lineup that he talked to. So, yeah, he's ultimate professional, and that was apparent right away.
You know, I think when a new coach comes in, a lot of kids are, you know, hey, this isn't a right fit for me. It's time to go find a place that I, you know, it's going to suit yourself, right? But for you, I mean, you stuck with it after a coaching change. What about Brett Riley kind of made you want to stick around Big Rapids for another year?
Well, I think that I didn't know a ton about Coach Riley prior, but obviously looking at what he did at LIU, the, you know, teams that he coached there, what he was able to get out of those teams and out of those players. I think that I just knew that he would, obviously needing to talk to him and, you know, kind of hear his thoughts, what he thought about me and my game. But yeah, after that, I knew that, you know, being here was going to push me, as a player to develop. And ultimately that's, you know, obviously I want team success. And, you know, I just, as I mentioned, you saw that at LIU, those 5 years, all those teams got better. And last year they had a really good team. And then also that individual piece of, you know, wanting to, you know, develop and give myself the best chance to, you know, play pro too. So those were two of the big reasons.
Well, you're an interesting case here, Gavin. I was looking at, you know, when we start going through this, we kind of look at your background and where all you played, and we want to get into your hockey career a little bit. I would have guessed if I hadn't looked that you were a Michigan guy. You know, obviously Michigan State, you know, now you're at Ferris State. I was thinking, okay, it's got to be a Michigan guy, but no, you're Richfield, Minnesota. Obviously a suburb of the cities. Jared, I'm sure, is very familiar with the area. And, you know, we all know what the state of hockey entails. That's where you grew up. You played hockey there growing up. What age did you really kind of start getting into hockey seriously? And when did that love of the game just kind of start to blossom?
Well, I've always been into hockey. I had the skates on at a very, very young age. You know, my dad played hockey. Like, it's been in the family. Obviously, it's ingrained in the Minnesota culture as well. So yeah, always early on, I was on the ice and playing hockey. But I guess it was, I don't know. Like, I played a lot of other sports growing up too. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't like just solely focused on hockey. That wasn't really until like juniors where I decided, you know, like, hey, hockey's gonna be my main focus. I mean, hockey was always sort of my main focus, but like even in high school, I played high school golf and I was like super, you know, determined to like be the best high school golfer that I could be too. So hockey always kind of was my favorite. I felt like it was mm-hmm. always what I was the best at. It was always my favorite. But I also had a ton of other interests, sports wise growing up too. But yeah, I mean, like I said, hockey, it might not have been the main focus, you know, after hearing some of these other stories of guys who, you know, play traveling AAA and, you know, hockey all year round and stuff, that was never me. You know, I definitely took a break in the summertime and stuff, but, you know, everyone has their own path. And yeah, I mean, hockey's always been my favorite. But.
Was it always just hockey and golf, or what other sports did you play?
So I played soccer for a bit, baseball. It was always kind of hockey and baseball, and golf were kind of like my three main sports. But yeah, I mean, I had a stint where I played soccer, I played football. I pretty much tried it all.
Cool.
But
what you know, growing up playing hockey through Squirts, Pee-wee's, Bantams, what, you know, youth club or organization did you play through then? Was that through Richfield?
So I started in Richfield when I was really young, like when I was a mite. But I played for Minneapolis Storm throughout the youth program. So I think it was about, if I remember right, like fifth grade, I made a transition to Minneapolis, like public school system. And then I played hockey there until I went to high school. And then I went to high school at Blake, which is private school, but also in the city.
Oh yeah. No, I'm a Minnesota born and raised kid. I mean, I know of Blake pretty well. And, you know, obviously that, you had a pretty good senior year too. You wore a C. I think you had 55 points in 31 games, which is ridiculous. And, you know, but at the end of that season, you had a pretty big moment. You're playing Benilde, tied 3-3 in overtime. I think Trent, you put down 2 minutes left in overtime, something like that. And you got like the dream moment that I think every single kid dreams of having. And that's a penalty shot with a shot, you know, a chance to go to the state tournament on the line. What do you remember about that? Well, first of all, how did you get a penalty shot? Walk us through that.
It was a breakaway, it looked like.
Yeah, no, it was, as you mentioned, it was storybook stuff. It was pretty cool that happened. But it was just kind of, like you said, like 2 minutes, something like that, like 2:30 left, something in that range. And it was kind of a neutral zone regroup. And I kind of just stretched and saw the D were kind of stretched apart. So I just cut behind one of them, and I got a pass from one of my teammates and good buddies, Joe Miller, passed it to me right up the middle, kind of split the D. And then as I was going in there, I just got hauled down, kind of like tackled a little bit, top of the circles into the crease. And then, I crashed into the boards and looked, and I saw the penalty shot. I was like, wow. Well, obviously in the moment I wasn't, you know, I was still very present. But yeah, it was cool.
What were the nerves standing on the red line before that shot? I can't imagine you were feeling anything in that moment other than just the weight of that moment.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it's kind of weird when you're in the, you know, the heat of the game. It's like you don't allow yourself to necessarily think of all the outcomes and stuff. Like, you know, I almost get more nervous, you know, kind of thinking about it now, like, wow, like that was a crazy like opportunity that I had. And like, had I not converted that and we go on to lose or something, like, you know, I probably, like, you know, it goes from the best moment to like probably one of the worst moments. So luckily in that moment I didn't allow my mind to even go there, like what happens if I miss. I just was able to stay present and, you know, just focus on the goal. And yeah, I'm obviously like so happy that that happened, and I got that memory to look back on with my teammates.
And obviously you get to go to state too. I mean, that's the dream of every high school player that comes out of Minnesota. What was your experience like playing at the X in front of all those people?
It was awesome. Those are some of like my best hockey memories, is that senior season with that team. And obviously like you said, you know, every kid grows in Minnesota, every kid grows up just dreaming of playing at the X and playing for a state tournament. You know, it's kind of funny. I don't know, can't speak for everyone else, but, you know, in other places around the country, I think, you know, kids grow up like dreaming of college hockey or national championship or the NHL, whatever it is. But truthfully, just growing up, like that was like the pinnacle. Was like, I would go to high school games, I'd go to the tournament every year. Like those guys were like the guys I looked up to. And I didn't look too much, you know, I'd go to Gopher games, but didn't look too much past that. So, yeah, to some people it sounds crazy. Like high school hockey was like my hockey pinnacle for a long time growing up. But, for whatever reason it is, that's just the way it was in Minnesota. That's the way it was for me. So like live out that childhood dream was super cool. And then, you know, playing some really fun games in front of 18,000 at the X is definitely something I'll remember forever too.
What's it like skating on the ice at the X for the first time, going out for that first warm-up skate, you know, obviously going out for the starting lineups, flow skate, everything, you know, just talk about those moments. I'm sure they're pretty vivid memories.
We could have probably tracked down. I didn't even see if we could find a picture of the hair.
Hair wasn't great. I kind of grew it out. Yeah, I grew it out that year, but like my hair doesn't really grow out that great. So it was nothing special. It was not a great look, but
not all hockey hair.
Cool. I just remember being super excited, you know, like just like taping my stick on the bench, like with some of my best buddies who I'd played hockey with since I was like a squirt. Like, you know, those are really cool memories. And then just, yeah, stepping on the ice and warmups and like having the school there to support that first game, like just super, super cool. I just wish I could go back and repeat those memories, but
yeah.
Well, like so many that we've talked to on this show, so many people across all sports, the pandemic was a big deal. In terms of your timing specifically too, it just seemed like it kind of threw a wrench into some plans. What can you tell us about the difficulty of that timing as you were just kind of getting ready to head into, you know, what was eventually, you know, your junior career, and how did that sort of impact things?
Yeah, COVID actually played a big impact in my trajectory. Not many people, I don't think, know this, but I was actually planning on going to Deerfield Academy and doing a year of prep right after high school finished. And then kind of seeing where that led, you know, obviously I was still prioritizing, still wanted a Division I commitment. But there were some other past Blake grads that had kind of gone that route and kind of opened my eyes to it. And I thought it would be a valuable experience for hockey and school and life. And so I ultimately decided I was going to do that. And then very last minute, obviously COVID and everything happens, and I end up deciding not to do that. It didn't look like they were going to have a season. Obviously, the junior seasons were kind of up in the air too, but they looked a little bit more promising, and just being able to stay closer to home were all factors. And so I ended up not going out to Deerfield and staying home and playing for the Magicians, which is, you know, what is my hometown North American League team at the time. The rink was literally like 4 minutes from my house. So,
oh, cool.
Worked out in COVID, you know, like I got to stay at home, and with all these kind of plans and games, like everything being up in the air, it was just kind of like a perfect storm for me and kind of how that all happened. And then, yeah, obviously there were some challenges with that, my first season in junior, but ultimately we got it in. So,
yeah, that first season, I mean, for the Magicians was a pretty fun one. You know, you got to go to the semifinals in the Robertson Cup. You fall to Aberdeen, who, you know, obviously Aberdeen's been a staple in the Knoll for years and years and years. And just what do you remember about that first season out of high school and kind of taking that next step up?
Yeah, I remember being super challenging, but also very rewarding. I think I grew a lot that year. You know, obviously making a step up, and I think that was probably a year that to that point in my hockey career, the first year I was really faced some, you know, real challenges of having to battle to be in the lineup and, you know, having things really not go my way. But eventually, you know, ultimately I learned a lot from that experience. And then, you know, towards the end of the year, I was regularly in the lineup and contributing, and we end up making a run to the, you know, Robertson Cup, and like you said, fall to Aberdeen. But yeah, that team put together a really, really strong finish to that season. Like, you know, obviously I personally had some struggles early in the year, but so did our team. Like we were struggling big time, and we kind of made a charge the second half of the year, and made a good push, and didn't end up doing it. But had you told us midway in the year that we were going to be playing in the Final Four there in Blaine, we would have taken that and ran for sure. So definitely a fun year to look back on. But you know, a lot of growth happened that year.
Clearly it did. I mean, the next season is 2021-22 season. You're an alternate captain that year. Averaged nearly a point per game that season, 54 points in 59 games. What do you feel like contributed to that big jump in production from your first to second year juniors? Was it preparation? I mean, what went into that?
I just think it was like a comfortability. Like I said, the second half to the very end of that first year, I felt like I really started to find my game in that league. And so I just think I had a lot of confidence coming back that, hey, like if I, you know, stick to that same process and play that way, I can have success at that level. And then also we had a coaching change that year too. And the new coach showed a lot of trust and belief in me too, which I, you know, always helps obviously when you have that kind of backing from your coach. So I just think it was, I had confidence kind of leading from the previous year, and I put my head down, and obviously didn't come easy. Had to do a lot of work to earn that that season and put up those numbers that I did. But I would just attribute it to, you know, hard work, putting my head down and staying with it, and just kind of trusting myself. And I think a lot of that trust came from how I responded and how I finished that first year of junior.
Juniors is always such a fascinating thing to me too, though, because it's, you know, your life is hockey during that time. You know, you don't, once you get to college, you got these other things going on, and you have school, and you have to juggle so many of these other things and balance life. But at the junior level, it is such a formative experience for kids that play and then eventually have plans to go on to the college level. How formative, of an experience were those two seasons with the Magicians in terms of just how it prepared you for what you were going to get at the next level?
Yeah, like I said, kind of going back to what I said is like that first year going through those challenges on the ice was like probably my first real like hardships that I had to deal with within hockey.
Right.
And so I think that like was a huge learning experience that would eventually set me up for, you know, later struggles that I would have, kind of both on, off the ice. Like, I think that was a really crucial year for me. And then I think like you mentioned juniors being a very transformative, process for people. I think a lot of that for people probably comes with, you know, living away from home and what,
sure.
My experience was a little different given literally, you know, I lived at home, so I still could benefit from some home cooking and some laundry and whatnot. Some benefits of living at home, but, so I would say, you know, my transformation, definitely happened more on the ice. But that would kind of feed a lot of other things in my life, that would come later on.
You talked about just how important it was for you to make that D1 commitment and kind of earn that opportunity to play at the D1 level. And January 2022, I mean, you got the chance to do that, committing to Michigan State. A few months later, Adam Nightingale's named the head coach. Just talk about your decision to go to East Lansing out of juniors and what attracted you to Michigan State.
Yeah, so a lot to unpack there, but obviously Michigan State, you know, came calling, and I went on a visit and just fell in love with the school in East Lansing. I think it's a super, super cool, you know, history with the program, and obviously the school itself is just awesome. So, you know, going there, visiting, I was like, man, this is what I want to do. Like, you know, it's easy to get, sold by some of those big programs, but no, it was good. I mean, I liked what they were telling me. And obviously I loved the school. So, I ended up making the commitment. And then, like you said, they ended up, hiring a new coach. Adam Nightingale came in. And so then kind of my, you know, future was up in the balance again a little bit. I didn't know Nighty at the time and didn't know how much he knew me. I didn't know what, you know, that was going to look like. So it's a lot of question marks at that time. And, yeah, I ended up obviously going and, growing a lot in the 2 years that I spent there.
Yeah. 12 games over your first couple seasons of college hockey at Michigan State. And then obviously, you know, you decide to enter the transfer portal following the 23-24 season. Eventually you land at Ferris State. Coach Daniels, you know, in the last season for you was kind of a breakout campaign at the college level. You played 36 games, finished with 19 points on 10 goals, 9 assists. You know, looking back, how rewarding of a decision has it been for you to continue your college career and out there in Big Rapids?
Super, super. Yeah. I'm so, so glad that I made the decision to come here. Obviously I'm not a guy who, likes change necessarily, but, obviously there was a necessary change and, you know, I made the decision to come here to Big Rapids. Never, you know, I'd been here. I didn't really know much about the community or the school, but, you know, it turned out to be, I think the best decision that I could have made. So I'm very pleased with it. And yeah, kind of just goes back to at that time, there was a lot going on at that time. Like, as I'm sure you guys have talked to other people that have, you know, been in the portal, like very stressful process, but you know, everything, you know, worked out and everything happens for a reason. So, ultimately very, very, fortunate to have ended up here.
I mean, Trent said it. It was a breakout year, and you know, obviously, you get another off season to kind of build off of that. What were some of the areas that you wanted to take a step forward in this past off season going into this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, obviously, still, you know, coming off season with 10 goals, I think that I wanted to, you know, look to build off that. And so obviously shooting the puck and looking to shoot, I think of myself as a playmaker. I'm always kind of pass first mentality. So I got to remind myself, in those opportunities where, you know, I'm in a good spot that I got to trust my shot and I got to shoot. So, worked on that, you know, worked on my skating a lot. I think, you know, just being stronger. I think I've always been a pretty decent skater, but just being stronger on my skates with contact and stuff like puck protection. I think those were areas that I wanted to work on and I'm still continuing to work on. You know, just being comfortable, you know, playing on the wall. A lot of the game is played on the wall and I have enough size, so I gotta, you know, utilize the walls and utilize my size to my advantage. So those are a few areas that, you know, I'm looking to continue to grow in and kind of emphasized.
This we did 9 season preview episodes before the season started, Jared and I did, and I feel like in every single one of them, I found at some point in those episodes saying, but then there's Ferris State. And we weren't sure where Ferris State fits into this. And I still don't know if I know, especially after the first couple weeks of the season when you guys go on the road into Lawson Arena and pull out a 3-2 win on their banner night. 30 guys, you know, on this roster, and none of them are true freshmen. You have 13 transfers. One of the big questions was how is this team going to gel in the early going? You know, it's every team in the conference is dealing with turnover to a certain extent. And at Ferris State, it's no different. I mean, where have you seen through these first couple weeks and maybe through fall camp, where have you seen this team gel and kind of come together and where are you really seeing kind of the biggest strides so far here in the very, very early going?
Yeah, I think, you know, our team, like you mentioned, we have a very, very old group, which, you know, I think is unique. I don't know what the stats say, but I got it. I mean, I think we have like 13 seniors, obviously, like you said, no freshmen. We got to have one of the older teams, in college hockey, I would think. So, you know, it's cool. Like when you got guys that are a little bit older, you know, guys get it. You know, they've been around college hockey, they've gone through struggles. You know, it just, that's one of the things I love about coming here. I just felt like everybody's like on the same page. I don't know. Everybody's mature. Like there's no freshmen that got to like feel things out and, you know, which those can be fun things, to deal with within a team too. But, no, I just think it's super unique. We got a super mature group who's like, you know, everyone's bought in, like, you know, who knows what's going to happen a year from now. You know, we got a bunch of guys that are going to be fighting to continue to play. And, so I've liked how we've gelled so far. And I think, yeah, like I said, I think a lot of that comes back to our maturity as a group.
You guys are the oldest team in the country, by the way, at 23 years and 1 month.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Where did you find that, Jared?
College Hockey News had it.
Is it CHN?
Yeah, you're tied with Niagara at 23 years, 1 month. And
okay, that's good. I was wondering. I knew we had to be up there, but
yeah. Yep, hey, here we go.
Got Augustana beat by about 3 months on average age, so. Okay. Yeah, no, it's super exciting. But we're going to transition here into our kind of funner questions and some of the one-timers here. And okay. We'll start with a common one, and that's just, where is the toughest place you've had to play in the CCHA so far?
Toughest place, CCHA.
I guess he hasn't probably been to every place, too.
Yeah, right? I was going to say that. Man, I would say – I'm going to say BG. I liked BG a lot. I like playing in their barn.
We get that a lot.
But it's tough. But, yeah, I haven't been everywhere. I've yet to go to Augustana, yet to go to Mankato. So I know that those are really good environments too. But BG is one of my favorites. I enjoy playing there.
What about the toughest place in all of college hockey that you've played in?
Austin's got to be up there.
Yeah, it's got to be Lawson or Yost.
Yeah,
my first ever game was at Yost, and obviously there's a bunch of great atmospheres out there. Like I haven't been, you know, I haven't played out on the East Coast or anything, but yeah, for me it would be Lawson, or my first game at Yost was pretty electric too.
I think it was Josh Grohl who said it last year, Trent, but when he said he played at Yost, it was like the warmest rink ever played in, where it's just, you're just dying under there.
Yeah.
The ice
sucks too. I think he was talking about the ice.
Is there any truth to that?
You know, I don't necessarily remember. I mean, the away like environment, like the locker room is tight. Like that whole building is just kind of tight. Like the fans are kind of on top of you. It's like the loud bleachers. And so it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of a recipe for like a lot of noise and just like being uncomfortable as a visiting team there. Like just nothing about that environment is comfortable as a visitor.
I've never been there, but it's a very cavernous sort of arena too. And those tend to be, you know, a little intimidating sometimes for people. I want to ask you this one too, is growing up, my assumption is you're a Wild fan. You grew up right next to him, but is there a pro, is there a player at the pro level that you've always admired the most, or maybe somebody that you've tried to model your game after? I mean, either of those.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely a Wild fan.
Oh yeah.
Growing up, obviously I was like a big fan of Marion Gaborik. Like he was like my guy, my first, you know, guy that I loved on the Wild.
He was the first guy for like everybody.
Oh, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. With especially, you know, with the Wild being like a new team. I mean, 2000, yep. I was born 01. So, he was like, you know, kind of iconic for a lot of Wild fans. But yeah, he was the first. And then obviously now, like, watching like Krill and Boldy and what they're doing right now, like they're so fun to watch. Boldy is more someone who I try and like would like to replicate my game after. I think, you know, kind of taller, lankier forward, who can do a lot of different things. So he's someone who I definitely watch his game and try and emulate pieces of it.
Yeah. Who's the most talented player you've ever played with? Could have been in college, could have been in juniors, high school, wherever. Just most talented guy you've ever got to play on the same team with.
That's a good question.
Besides Will Svendal.
Besides Svenny. I wasn't going to say Svenny. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to Svenny, but he wasn't going to answer. But man, that's a really hard question because I've played with a lot of great players. A lot of guys with a lot of talent. But,
is there any pro guys? I mean, sometimes, you know.
I'm going to say Joe Miller.
Yeah, okay.
Give a nod to one of my
Harvard, right?
Longtime buddies. But, yeah, me and Joe played. And Sven too, played hockey growing up together for a long time. But yeah, Joe has Sven slightly on the just the, I don't know, the talent or most skilled, but that's all right. Svenny knows that, it's no secret. So Joe's more skilled than me too, but he's super skilled. I played a lot of hockey with Joe growing up. And yeah, like you said, he's at Harvard now doing his thing. He's captain over there. So yeah, wish maybe, Joe all the best this year.
Maybe I'm teeing this one up for you now. Who is the most underrated player you've ever played with?
Maybe you are teeing that up. I mean, I think Svenny is definitely very underrated. Like,
he's grown a lot, man. Yeah, I will say that.
Really, he really has.
His head's gonna grow after this one. Holy!
No, it won't. That's the thing about Svenny. His head's not gonna grow.
It's 100% true.
But no, Svenny. Yeah, Svenny's a great competitor. Works his bag off, and like you said, he's grown a lot, and that's no surprise. You know, he's a guy who's always put his head down and put his best foot forward. So, definitely very happy for him too, to get a leadership role at Augie this year.
Who's the most famous person in your cell phone?
We've had some good ones for this. I always got to say that.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to. I don't have a ton of famous people. I mean, when I was at State, I played with, you know, a couple guys who are playing in the NHL now. So I don't know if I want to, like, make Ike's head any bigger. But Isaac Howard, I mean, he's, like, kind of famous. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He's playing on a Stanley Cup favor right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe him. I don't know if I want to say that. But maybe – I don't know. I'd say like Darby Hendrickson.
That's a good one.
He's sort of famous. I mean, coach in the NHL. He's very well known around like the Minnesota hockey community. So, Richfield guy too.
Oh yeah.
Parents kind of grew up with him. So, family friends with the Hendricksons.
That's our last one here for you, but it's my favorite one.
It's Jared's favorite question.
I'm a big golf guy. I know you're a big golf guy. So who is the best golfer on Ferris State, and who is the biggest sandbagger?
Well, I don't want to sound like conceited, but
I feel like somebody may have said you in the past.
Yeah, no. I'm going to say I'm the best on the team. If guys want to challenge that, I'll gladly take them on. The biggest sandbagger.
You got to name someone for this one. You can't fall on the sword.
No, I'll name somebody. I don't know. There's a few. I'm going to say Jack Cilic is the biggest sandbagger. He's a good golfer. He is a good golfer. He pounds the ball. But I don't know. He came to mind. He's up and down. He can put together some super good rounds, and then, like everybody, You know, everybody's up and down. They can lose some ball, but that's what happens when you pound it off the tee. You know, when it's not going well, then it's really not going.
But then he puts it together and he starts asking you for strokes. It's like,
no, exactly. That's probably what I say that too, is because like he's dangerous, you know, like,
yep.
He could have some, maybe some bad scores just because whatever, he's got one round where he's blown it around a little bit. But like when he's dialed, he could sneak up on you. He could for sure beat me if he's dialed. So, but yeah, that's fine. I'll say silly. He can take it too. So I'll give him a little crap.
Yeah, you're gonna have to. It sounds like you're gonna have to prove that you're better than him before the snow hits in Big Rapids. Yeah,
that's fine. We can do that. Gavin
is gonna be a player in the alumni tournament to come, man. I can tell you that.
Yeah. For sure. I will definitely be looking to come back.
Awesome, man. But that's all we got for you. Yeah, we got all our questions out. So thank you so much for joining us,
Gavin,
today. This was awesome.
Cool. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
All right. Once again, thank you to Gavin Best for joining the show. And thank you to our producer, Perry Lascaris. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at TrendSinger and at Jared Rubato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.